Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there, my friend. On a Saturday here where the weather is changing on us, we have Dr. David Gusak with us in the first hour, and the very lovely Kiara Nixon, the currently reigning Miss Black Florida. She'll be our guest, along with another edition of the Business Spotlight. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and car concept. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and car concept. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
Tailgating starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts.
Get your free tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
So here we are, my friend, again with another edition of the ever-popular Tallahassee Talks with your humble host, Brian Cerny, sitting in for someone of greater intelligence, perhaps. As soon as we find that guy or gal, we'll make sure that we've duly appointed them to the duties of this here post. But you know what? After 6 years of doing this, I'm getting kind of used to, well, I've got the chair nicely worked in, you know, just to accommodate me. And those of you who have made this part of your week, thank you for enduring all of my, silliness and random questions. And we have no less in store for you today, because Dr. David Gusak is with us. And I have to tell you, on an occasion like this, the hardest part is for the two of us to just stay on topic, because we both have this sort of kind of goofy, quick-lined a sense of humor, you know, rapid fire sort of who can be the best imitation of a stand-up comic today. And that's a momentary thing, is it not? Well, anyway, he's such an affable person, and at that, highly skilled in this business of art therapy. Okay, so lest you wander off thinking that art therapy is in fact for artists who are in need of therapy, though I'm sure there are plenty of those around. Art therapy as a professional endeavor, as a practice, is really the business of bringing therapeutic intervention to those who are in need of it for various kinds of problems. Emotional, mental issues, we'll say, but doing so through this rather powerful, as it turns out, means, this medium of art, and we're talking visual art here, that in the hands of an able practitioner like Dr. Gusak, turns into something rather remarkable for those who are the recipients. This is a guy who for now over a couple of decades has been in this business as a practitioner, but of late, more recently, I should say, then a faculty member at Florida State University, right? And not just a faculty member. I mean, he is like the head honcho over there. Well, he's the chair of the Department of Art Education, and he's a professor in the Graduate Art Therapy Program at Florida State University. So that's cool. And an author of note. And so we're going to talk to him about a book that one of his books called Art on Trial. And here's the intriguing subtitle, Art Therapy in Capital Murder Cases, right? Wow. So lots of good stuff coming up there. He'll be with us here shortly in this first hour of the show. In fact, we're going to do something rather special, I think. We're going to keep him around right through into the second hour. So just for those of you who are taking notes, here's how this is going to work. And then we'll follow up that portion of the show with the very lovely Kiera Nixon. Now, Kiera, for her part, has been celebrated in many ways. Most recently, you probably saw this almost life-size photo of her in the Tallahassee local section. This is dated November 8th. I'm holding it here in my hand if you hear me rustling paper. So there's a picture of her on this cover of the Tallahassee, TLH local, I should say. Plans to Give You Hope is the title of that article. And it reads, when one option fails, FAMU student Kiera Nixon shifts gears and becomes an ambassador. In fact, she is. She is the current reigning Miss Black Florida U.S. Ambassador, which affords her all sorts of opportunities. Turns out she's a broadcast journalist, journalism major over there at FAM. And we're going to talk to her about her duties as the reigning representative for this fine organization, Miss Black Florida. Very cool. With that in mind, we're gonna look around town here at some other things going on. In fact, this last week, where Leon County Sheriff's Office dedicated the memorial to fallen deputies, a notable occurrence where the memorial, now situated outside of Leon County Sheriff headquarters over there on Municipal Way, has inscribed in it the names of Sheriff Langston, and then it looks like Coleman Revels, and then, of course, Deputy Chris Smith, who was taken in the line of duty even last year. So that is a rather inspiring occurrence, so we want to focus on those good things going on in town as well. We had some other rather notable occurrences in as much as we were looking at some of the weather going on. Well, and by the way, you know, your weather forecast for the weekend, have we talked about this? Startling. In fact, somebody said, I think it was me, somebody said, you know, if you're a critter living in this part of the country, you know, whether you're a squirrel or a possum or a jackalope or whatever you might be, and you're out there trying to figure out what time of year this is, well, good luck with that, because we're doing the same thing. So today's high, 68, a low tonight of 54, mostly cloudy today. And then your forecast for tomorrow, showers, a high of 61 and a low of 38. And Monday night's low is 36. And then we're back in the 60s on Tuesday and up into the 70s on Wednesday. Wow. So just with the, you know, about the time you think you got it figured out. No, you don't. So the weather continues to be perplexing. And then here we had this tornado warning earlier in the week, and there was a water spout down there in Destin. I mean, it's just been kind of goofy, would you agree? So that's kind of the weather outlook from our standpoint. Other more important things, of course, having to do with the departing of Anita Favors Thompson as city manager. We finally have that all concluded. It seems like it's been going on forever, but the dear Miss Thompson has finally taken leave. And other news around town includes some of the activities we see, even going on today and tomorrow. What was this one that caught my... Oh, yes, Young Actors Theater is performing A Christmas Carol. That is tomorrow afternoon, is that right? Yeah, or it goes on all day or whatever. Let's see. Young Actors Theater performs A Christmas Carol at Young Actors Theater. Yeah, that is on Sunday. That's cool. Oh, and the Tallahassee Salsa Dancers with their Turkey-rific social. Got to check that out. That happens tonight. So that's at 9:30. The Tallahassee Salsa Dancers Turkey-rific social. Got to check it out. You'll find events of this kind around town at our very favorite website, tallyconnection.com. Great place to go. Check out their events there on the calendar page. Great little resource for you. As are those resources provided by one of our fine sponsors, a Country Rose Florist, now located in Midtown on 250 East 6th Avenue. New location, same great service, and the floral arrangements, the fresh cut flowers, the wedding catering, it's all there for you. A Country Rose Florist, you'll find them online at acountryroseflorist.com.
The holidays are coming, and that means parties and fun and out-of-town guests. That's why now is the time to shower up with a beautiful custom shower enclosure from Wood & Glass. Wood & Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Wood & Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Wooden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style. Call Wood & Glass today, 222-5781, or visit us online to see examples of the luxury and style that has made Wood & Glass the favorite among homeowners for three generations. You'll find us at woodandglass.com, W-H-I-D-D-O-N. Widen, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by PushTheEnvelope.biz.
Good morning. I'm Miriam Dady. Welcome to Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I have got a friend and a guest here with me today, Brittany Gelibert with Aflac.
Aflac, exactly, yes.
Thanks for being here, Brett.
Thank you. I'm very excited.
Well, I tell you, I know that I'm talking to a friend out here in the world of listening, and they are thinking, I know all about Aflac. I see it everywhere. I know what it is. Why should Brittany have to explain anything to me? Tell me what you were saying just a little bit briefly beforehand.
Well, it's interesting. What we found is probably 90% of America recognizes the brand and the name of Aflac. They know the duck. They'll go Aflac when I say Aflac. They quack back at me. But surprisingly, a very small percentage knows what it actually does, what we actually are. It's not car insurance. It's not health insurance. Most people aren't familiar with the fact that it is supplemental coverages that a person can take out through an employer or on their own direct one-on-one basis through their own bank account. And it's just meant to protect them. It's a financial protection that pays the policyholder. And a lot of people aren't aware of that, which is funny because the commercials are very specific in a lot of cases.
Yeah. You see them in wrapped up in bandages and walking on crutches. You figure that's what it pays for, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The duck's fallen down and injured himself a few times and been a client of ours. And they had a campaign even where you could write get well cards to the duck, and he got hundreds of thousands. I imagine mostly from children, but he got lots of
funny.
Them. Yeah, no, it's meant to pay you in the instance that you have an illness or an injury, or you have to take time off work for an illness or injury, and it's meant to put back in your pocket all of the cost that comes out. And depending on your out of pocket, you may actually come out quite a bit ahead, and that's intentional,
right?
Because
right.
We want to make it so you will go get treatment and not have to skip a grocery trip because of it.
It is so neat because it actually allows the individual to choose, prioritize where that money goes.
Exactly. That's the whole point, is we're not here to pay your, you make sure your doctor gets paid. That's your prerogative and your priority. I always tell people health insurance is fantastic. I recommend it for everyone. I have it myself. but your mortgage company and your car payment won't accept that health insurance card. And that's where Aflac comes in, is you can take the money we're going to send you and you can pay your car payment. You can pay your kids' tuition, buy groceries or gas, or you can pay off your deductible for your hospital bill if you have to. We never come back and say, what'd you do with the money? It's meant to supplement your income so that you feel no hit for having taken care of yourself or your family. And
right.
And it really is just meant to be a safety net, like the commercial says.
Right.
That's the whole point of it.
Or you make a wise investment like I would and buy lotto tickets.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's totally okay. I know people have won quite a bit of money that way.
Don't encourage bad behavior.
It wasn't me. I didn't win a lot of money, I promise.
Well, Aflac is supplemental. Mm-hmm. People can get it at work.
Yes.
Does it cost the employer?
No, that's the best thing about Aflac from a company business perspective, is it's an added benefit that they can offer to their employees, which just makes them that look that much better as an employer. And I find most employers, for the most part, really do care about their employees. They understand a happy, healthy workforce is better for their business and their bottom line. And offering Aflac makes them a little more competitive, gives them another option for the employee to help take care of themselves. And it basically is something that they can say, here, I'm sponsoring your access to this, and I will payroll deduct it for you and then remit it through the company. But it's a employee paid benefit 90% of the time.
Right.
If I work at, you know, ABC company and they offer Aflac and I say I want to enroll, they just payroll deduct it and submit it for me. But then when I leave the company, I have the option if I want to take it with me.
Mm-hmm.
And companies are actually offered a large discount off of the direct pricing to their employees. So the employee gets an even bigger benefit by doing it through the employer because they get a better rate. And our rates lock in for life. So if they take it with them, they're guaranteed a better rate for as long as they want the policy.
Neat.
And it's a really nice way they can do it pre-tax to save the company tax money. So companies can actually increase their benefit package while technically reducing their cost by rolling in Aflac, which is a really cool feature. And it pairs with whatever else they offer. They don't have to change or even offer health insurance to have Aflac there.
Yeah.
And it's one more thing for them to say, here, I'm trying to help take care of you.
That's neat. It makes them look good. It costs them nothing.
Exactly.
That's a good thing. Two things that I have experienced with Aflac specifically, and you can address both of them.
Mm-hmm.
One, it is the kind of insurance company that looks for reasons to pay out.
That's exactly right.
When I had a dental thing, you know, I did my exam and they are sending me money because of that.
Yep.
That's number one. Number two, I think since early 2000s, I've met a lot of Aflac employees.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are all so great.
Why, thank you.
You listen. You have the ability to help people work through what their needs are.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you're not trying to cram my giant foot into your little tiny shoe. You guys really make it work around what people's needs. So
it's very customizable.
Yeah. So my question then is, do people like yourself and like the other Aflac employees that I meet around town, do you just gravitate to this kind of company, or have you been around the block in a lot of different companies and you ended up here?
If you had told me 10 years ago I would work in sales or in insurance, I'd have laughed you out of the room. I'd have thought you were crazy and asked you to please leave. I actually have an HR and office management background. I used to be the person scheduling the enrollments and the meetings and picking benefits. I did not like sales. I didn't want anything to do with it. And there's no denying I'm in a sales industry, but I do not consider myself a salesperson. And I don't think anyone in my field should. It should really be a consultant. I want to come into your company as a consultant on benefits. I want to be an asset where if you need any sort of insurance, you know you can come through me and I can, if I can't do it, I can help you find someone. And it should be very educational. I really enjoy sitting down with someone and I want to explain to them what it is and how it works, ask about their personal concerns and conditions, and then find what fits for them. I find myself frequently talking people out of policies, not because I don't want them to have them, but you know, when you sit down and you listen to it, a lot of people get really excited and they want everything.
Right.
And I'm
right.
there to protect their finances. I don't want to drain them.
That's so cool.
And so I'll say, well, let's pick your, you know, one, two, three, whatever for your budget that's you can't sleep without, you know, peace of mind wise. And then let's look at adding another one next year. We'll talk about that next year. I'd rather you have one policy that helps you sleep at night knowing you're protected for 10 years mm-hmm. than for you to have everything I offer and right. not be able to get gas that night because I drained your paycheck. That should never be the point. I really enjoy the educational side of it, and I consider myself more of a consultant than a salesperson.
Okay. So if someone wants to reach out to you and just get their questions mm-hmm. answered, mm-hmm. where do they reach out?
Best way, in all honesty, is text or call. Uh-huh. My phone number is 850-228-7010. And like most Americans, it's super glued to my hand at almost all times. And email is also a really good way. Because I work with so many clients, I'm out in the field. So coming by my office is slightly futile.
Right, right. Say it again,
228-7010.
7010. Mm-hmm. It's Brittany Gelibert with Aflac. And you owe it to yourself and your family to get your questions answered. Thanks, Brittany,
for coming
and being here. And thanks for joining us for Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I'm Miriam Dady.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Todd Cutlip, General Manager of Browning Moving and Logistics in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Dr. David E. Gusak is chair of the Department of Art Education and a professor in the Graduate Art Therapy Program at Florida State University. He has published and lectured extensively on the use of art therapy in correctional settings and with violent and aggressive clients. He is our guest this morning, Dr. David Gusak. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
And I want to begin this very quickly here. I want to get to the point that your name has such remarkable character to it. And the character I have in mind is like the private detective sort of character, right? So this morning, thinking about you, and of course, you were here on the show a few months back, and I'm laughing to myself, and I'm thinking, Gusak is back. So then I do, and it's probably the coffee, right?
Sure.
So I'm laughing, and I'm thinking, oh, man, there's a soundtrack there somewhere. Indeed. So I'm like, dum, tspa,
let Gusak. Let the record show I'm dancing here.
Gusak is back. Dum,
ts, boom, we need boom, an echo boom, or something. Boom, ts, or, boom, I don't know. Boom, boom, ts. A prepubescent voice saying that Gusak is back. You know?
Dave Gusak, art therapist. Boom, ts, pa, pa.
I'm a little frightened. I don't know where this is going.
So I'm thinking, so how is Gusak going to sound? You know, and he's like, hey, I'm Dave Gusak. Look at these pictures. Boom, ts, pa, pa,
boom, ts. I have to say, years ago when I was working, I worked for a university in Kansas, and our office administrator, first time she met me, she was amazed. She said, you know, you sound a lot taller on the phone. So on the radio, I sound 6'8".
So, I'm just watching you with your fedora, right?
And my overcoat.
Yeah, and your cigar, and you're walking into the prison there, and you're meeting with your clients, you know, and boom, the door opens. Gusak is back.
Well, there's more like eight doors that open for you to go inside.
Then again, yeah. What was I thinking? And you're not kicking any of them in.
Yeah, no. You hurt your foot that way, apparently. Yeah.
Okay, so enough with the preliminaries. We've got my therapy
I have to say, I've never been introduced that way.
Where else would you have this experience?
It's like magic.
Here?
This is great.
Absolutely. You're dealing with a patient of yours. This is the guy. Yeah. Right.
No, that's not true. The ethics board is not going to hear this. No. We have complete confidentiality
right.
here.
Absolutely. I don't really know this man. Okay. I've never seen him before in my life.
Here, sign this.
Well, so there you go. In fact, Dr. Dave, if I may, sure. and I met some months ago, and you were here to talk then about this other very engaging, very compelling story about, among other things, art and this particular artist who was imprisoned during World War II. Mm-hmm. She and her daughters mm-hmm. then who go on to her daughter goes on to create these marvelous yeah. paintings mm-hmm. Having been schooled in that of the time mm-hmm. so she has this stylistically she's that impressionist mm-hmm. and expressionist kind of artist going on. All of those discoveries are made here in Florida, right? The artwork has been...
Through Mimi Shaw.
Mimi Shaw mm-hmm. finds these buried under a house
yeah.
out there in, where is it, in Greenville or someplace. Mm-hmm. Wow. You get dragged in
well,
to the whole thing.
I was still standing when they pulled me in, yeah.
They find you, and yeah. tell me again your role in all that. The reason
they brought me in is at the time I had been a lecturer for the Florida State University Holocaust Institute for Educators
right.
because I was lecturing on the art of the Holocaust. And at the time, I had this passion for the art that emerged yeah. from the victims and the victors, those who survived the artwork that long survived the concentration camp.
Itself or yeah. those experiences themselves. Mm-hmm. Which then is telltale, because that tells me, and I think us, what really keeps you motivated, keeps you focused, and that is this appreciation of the connectedness mm-hmm. of art and then our own identities, and not just individually, but... And I know I'm going off here.
Absolutely right.
But it's how we then are moved by the art we experience. Mm-hmm. And then again, how that is translated into a social experience. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the individual going, oh, you know, that's an interesting piece of work. It's then the message, I guess, and I'm oversimplifying this, but it is the manner in which we... embrace that artwork.
Yeah, I think so. I think that the art creates a bridge between those that create it and those that view it, those that accept it. A lot of my work, working with not only, you know, looking at the artwork of those that emerged from the Holocaust, but my own work as an art therapist, working with the disenfranchised, working with aggressive and violent clients, working with prison inmates, it really is about using the art as a means to reconnect with populations that are objectified yeah. and infantilized and pushed aside. And,
yeah.
And the art allows the viewer to realize that this is a real person, a real human that actually created this piece.
Yeah. In fact, then we find ourselves transported, I think, somehow.
It could be.
Sort of a transitional or transcendental way. You know, you're moved back into those experiences that person went through, or at the very least, you're presented with mm-hmm. the question. And then somebody said to me one time, art is really about asking questions more than it is providing answers.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's funny because you're using the concepts of transcendental or transcending one's limitations yeah. and transcending the block between people. It's a very transpersonal yep. approach, and there is a movement in the art therapy field of transpersonal art therapy and about the how and the art itself can serve as a means of creating these relationships.
Do you consider yourself an artist? Are you a painter or sculptor? Or
no, I don't consider myself an artist. I consider myself someone who does art, and I certainly can use the art for messages. I mean,
so you do that yourself,
sure,
but not professionally as an artist.
No,
but at the same time, you have this rather clever, if I may say. And again, I'm sort of simplifying this for people like me who can't understand complex ideas. It's tough, okay?
Yeah.
But then there's this sort of appreciation of how, in fact, that process, I guess, works.
Sure.
Socially, psychologically, you come to it and say, "Ah, I have this ability to help you using and engaging with the art that is presented to you."
Oh, sure.
Is that
I think you bring up a very important point. Is that, you know, as a student 25 years ago when I first got my master's degree in art therapy, and now as an educator and bringing in art therapy students, one of the most fundamental pieces was, what is our experience? What is the student's experience in art?
Yeah.
Have they experienced a wide array of artistic expression so that they know the power of the art? They know what they bring to the table. So I may not be an artist per se, but I've done a lot of art, and I know the tools that I'm using, and I know the power of those tools. And so I know how to facilitate that process and the value and the therapeutic benefits that each type of art material may hold for a particular client.
Wow. The work in and of itself and this field of art therapy is well developed. And for those of us who are just getting to know you and getting to know the field, there's a lot to know. And I have to tell you, folks, we have a copy of the book Art on Trial, subtitled Art Therapy in Capital Murder Cases, David E. Gusak, who is our guest this morning, talking about this field and his work. How long have you been doing art therapy then?
Oh, I've been doing it for 25 years. It'll be 25 years, yeah. I think, this coming spring.
And he, at the same time, you are the chair of the Department of Art Education and professor over there in the Graduate Art Therapy Program, Florida State University. We're going to continue this conversation. You folks don't want to miss this, because we're going to get into even the better part of this whole conversation. We've got Dave Gusak here with us.
Better than the fedora.
I thought that was a good intro. I'm sticking with that. Folks, you stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
In business, time is money. And in times like these, money is tight. Every second counts. Downtime can be deadly. That's why Tallahassee business owners trust the good guys, Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. They keep business up and running hard with reliable, proven, first-time right service. Lighting, expansion, maintenance, replacement, repairs, and installations. Lawson & Lawson, giving business owners and homeowners better solutions, too, with energy-efficient green ideas to help squeeze every penny. That's what business owners need, and that's why they call Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. And you should, too. Don't waste precious time. Trust the good guys at Lawson & Lawson Electrical Services. Call 562-4111 or on the web at llelectrical.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Dr. Dave Gusak. He is a faculty member there at Florida State University. He is the chair of the Graduate Art Therapy Program.
The Department of Art Education.
What did I say? Chair of the Department of Art Education and professor in the Graduate Art Therapy Program. Mm-hmm. Don't correct the host. This is not good.
The director of the Art
Even
Therapy
if I'm
Program
wrong,
will,
okay?
will hurt me.
Just don't say that. It hurts my feelings. And listen, my listeners understand who they're dealing with here. They know there's
I'm learning
inaccuracies all the time. They have to go. They're doing fact check.
My entire life is built on inaccuracies. We're good.
They wear Google out just trying to find out if, in fact, I'm telling you the truth. So let's get back to that truth. Sure. And the truth being, in all of these 25 years, mm-hmm. Not only have you been a practitioner, mm-hmm. you are an author and an educator, and it's hard to know how you work all that in. This is this book that I'm looking at here. This, again, is Art on Trial, mm-hmm. Art Therapy in Capital Murder Cases. Is this the first of several, or where are you in terms of your...
No, this is actually my third book, and we just came out with a fourth one. You know, it's funny. I've been an art therapist for 25 years, educator for 18, in Kansas for four, and I've been here at Florida State for 14 years. And I hate writing. I really do.
Well, that's good.
I'm glad that you suffer through this. I don't write well. You know, I remember, I'm just going to tell a lot of stories here.
That's why I have a microphone. I can't write.
Well, you know, back in 25 years ago when I was in the graduate program, the master's program, my then director of the program, Gladys Segal, couldn't stand my writing, hated my writing. And I didn't write well then. And so you flash forward about 10 or 11 years, and I was getting my doctorate. I was back in Vermont gathering data for my dissertation, and I had already written my first book, Drawing Time, Art Therapy in Prisons and Other Correctional Settings, and I had a few articles out. And I was staying with Dr. Agel, because by that time we were colleagues, and she asked me at the end of the trip, she said, Dave, would you be on the editorial board for the journal? She was the executive editor of the American Journal of Art Therapy. Would you be on the editorial board? And I said, so Gladys, I thought you said I couldn't write. And she said, well, you can't write, but you can edit. So this is the third book.
A candid compliment there.
Oh, it was great. And I believe her. You know, the difference is I'm not married to my words, but I feel compelled to get the message out. So I have, not only do I have this book, Art on Trial, and my colleague, Marsha Rizal, who is the director of the art therapy program here at Florida State, we've just published the 84 chapter Wiley Handbook of Art Therapy, with it's got 90 plus authors, in which we edited this and contributed. I also have a blog, Art on Trial: Confessions of a Serial Art Therapist, through Psychology Today, and I feel a compulsion to write about this. This book, Art on Trial, spun me off in a totally different direction. I was a art therapist in prisons for many years and working with corrections. All my research, all my articles, all my chapters were about working with juvenile justice clients, working with prison inmates, men and women, the theoretical positions of the research. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, back in 2006, I received a phone call from an attorney out in the Midwest. And she asked, you know, she says, we would like to consider your services to be an expert witness for a person on trial for murder. And I said, well, I'm not a forensic art therapist. I'm an art therapy that happens to work in forensic settings. I said, and this is when I was teaching here at Florida State, I said, if you want to hire somebody who's a forensic art therapist, you want to contact Marcia Sue Cohen-Liebman. She's the leading forensic art therapist in the field of art therapy. And she knows what she's doing. She knows her way around a courtroom. She says, we did contact her, but because she works with victims and she works with children, she saw that as a conflict of interest. But her, and this is what she said. She said, but if you want to work with somebody who's comfortable with somebody who's murdered someone, contact Gusak. Like, that's a dubious recognition.
So you,
how
can't
do you say
write,
no?
Your character is in question.
Well, perfect. I don't know if there's a question there. I think my character is pretty much solid.
It was already concluded, yeah.
And so
let's go back to the intro. Yeah. Where's that rap music?
So it was fascinating. And so I spent the next several years working on this case, and you know, as I'm working on it, I'm taking notes and I'm examining it. And at first I thought, okay, well, maybe this will become an article. And then a colleague at Florida State said, could you write this up for a chapter for a book on criminology? And I said, sure, I will. And as I'm writing it, it's getting bigger and bigger, and I'm feeling compelled to write the entire story. And before I knew it, I had this entire manuscript on something that is not my field of interest, but I felt compelled to write about. And Columbia University Press thought it was worth
they published,
giving a message.
And what I wish I could see here on the back cover, you know, you have these wonderfully glowing remarks, as is often the case, right? You know, customary that you have people who will laud you with all kinds of, oh, best book I ever read.
Yeah, my mother was very nice. She was
one that says, this guy can't write.
Well, that's it. And I agonize over the words, and it's really trying to get the message out. But what was valuable about this was part of my responsibility for the case was to examine well over 100 pieces of art done by this person who had murdered his child. And the defense wanted to ascertain whether or not he had a mental illness. And if he did, would the art reveal that? And so in the process of looking at all of this artwork, I spent a lot of time really evaluating these pieces. So I wasn't doing art therapy per se, but I was drawing upon my experiences as an art therapist.
To then better understand the psychology of the interior landscape of this mind.
Yeah. And so I looked at all of these art pieces that they sent to me via CD. Mm. This is still CD time.
Right.
And then I met with the defendant for about 5 hours to evaluate him, and I flew out to the Midwest, evaluated for a second time for 3 hours, and then during the deposition and the actual hearing, I was able to demonstrate through detail how the artwork, through the formal elements of the art pieces, revealed that he did indeed have a schizoaffective disorder, not only at the time of the crime, but for 20 years prior and for several years after.
Remarkable.
And the reason that was so valuable is that I was testifying. I never spoke with the other expert witnesses. One was a psychiatrist, one was a psychologist, and we all testified separately, didn't hear each other's testimony, and it wasn't until afterwards that what emerged was that I, as the final witness, I used the artwork to verify that what the other two expert witnesses concluded was that he likely had a schizoaffective disorder during the time of the murder.
Wow.
And so when I was writing the book, I spent not only a lot of time recounting the deposition and the trial itself, which I still find fascinating, because let's face it, the prosecuting attorney's job was to make me look like an idiot. Huh. And it's remarkable how easy that was. And so that's all in the book. But so I get a chance to really take apart these art pieces. And one of my colleagues, Randy Vick, who teaches up at Chicago Art Institute, we were on a panel together, and what he said, I think one of the nicest things I'd ever heard about the book was, what the book provides is, it pulls back the curtain and shows people what happens backstage when an art therapist really takes a look at the art and really takes that to a likely conclusion, because all of that is in there.
Mm. Talking with Dr. David Gusak about the work of his life, the last 25 years as an art therapist. He is chair of the Department of Art Education and professor in the Graduate Art Therapy Program at Florida State University, and the author of this book, Art on Trial, Art Therapy in Capital Murder Cases. We're going to continue our conversation coming up here to the top of the hour. You still stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Dave Gusak, who I really don't like very much, but, you know, it's my job.
Yeah,
I got to act like
the looks he was giving me during the
break. Yeah, it's not easy. But here's a review, and I won't read all of this. This is on the back cover, and I don't know how much he paid these people, but this is good. Detailing an outstanding example of the use of forensic art therapy in a capital murder case, David E. Gusak. What does the E stand for?
Edward.
Ah, may I say that? David Edward Gusak. Sounds like you're graduating from high school. An art therapist contracted by the defense to analyze the images that were to be presented as evidence recounts his findings and his testimony in court, as well as the future implications of his work for criminal proceedings. That, in some sort of abstracted way, gives us a hint as to what's inside of this book, Art on Trial, Art Therapy in Capital Murder Cases, one of several books authored by a man who cannot write, according to those who know him well.
It's going to follow me for a while, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry.
My students are going to be like, wait, you're telling us how to write? And you don't know how.
It's art, gang. Come on. You draw pictures here.
No, I got
you don't
it, yeah.
write things. Okay. All of that in jest. However, it seems to me that you must have something going on because you're doing quite well with these books. And I would imagine they're available on Amazon, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So go buy 100 copies of this book. David needs the money. Okay, lot of expenses, especially having to come in here today.
Sure,
you know, it's killing him.
My fedora is getting ratty. I need a new one.
And we are going to work on that TV series for you. We'll see if we can get you going on that. You've said several times here, trying to get the message out.
Yeah.
Message out. What is that message?
Oh, wow. You know, the message is that art and art therapy is a viable and valuable resource that we can use to reach our clients in methods that aren't otherwise available. You know, for years I worked in environments where any verbal disclosure of weakness and vulnerability leaves them open for attack, so to speak. I mean, I'm in prison. And so what the art and art therapy allows is the therapeutic change to occur without even the client sometimes knowing. With the trajectory of treatment, using the art to bring about change is remarkable, you know? And the message out there now for many people is that art and art therapy is just an opportunity for our clients to color. You know, these coloring books now are big, right? And that's all we do. And
so it's sort of cathartic. It just gives them a way to release and express emotion.
And there's so much more than catharsis. Yeah, I mean, to be quite honest, there's another level of that, which is sublimation. It's taking that and making it socially productive. It's taking these pathologies, these negative emotions, these even heightening wellness and good health and treating it, you know, using the art to really bring about therapeutic change. And it's not you know, certainly therapy is going to happen, or something therapeutic is going to happen if somebody introduces art materials to certain populations. And it may happen. But to have an art therapist there who understands the materials that are being offered, what's emerging from the client, using that information to take them down a path that brings about true change, well, it's remarkable to watch.
It is remarkable. And I have to say that as you're talking, I'm thinking of the Rorschach idea, where you basically you see this drawing, we'll say, or some image on a piece of paper, and then you invest meaning by looking at it. Is that how that works?
That's part of the assessment process.
I mean, that's the old school, I guess.
Sure, what's originally believed.
Yeah.
But there's the two sides of the art therapy continuum. There's traditionally, this is what it used to be seen as. Now it's so much more complicated. But there was the art therapy process, which was the notion of art making, the process of making art brings about therapeutic change, and that the art therapist acts as an auxiliary ego and a facilitator to help bring that about. To the other end of the spectrum, which is art as product, art psychotherapy. That's where the finished product is used as a catalyst for discussion to demonstrate that that art piece contains and holds meaning that needs to be explored further. The Rorschach, which was done by Hermann Rorschach and later, of course, expanded by Exner, is more of an evocative assessment in which you look at these ink blots that have nothing at all to do with art, and you're not even projecting meaning. It's just evoking certain assigned meanings to what those pieces may mean. We rely on the assessment capability of art, the idea that we can project ideas and thoughts onto art, but it's not until we understand the client and what they're saying the art means to them that we really get to the meat of
I suppose the meaning. Only common thread there would be that it's non-literary, right? It's a visual means by which I'm able to better communicate to you, right?
Absolutely.
And as the interpreter of that, or the one who's facilitating my interpretation, you know, so I've just done this artwork, I hand it to you and I say, there you go, Doc. Your next question is?
Well, my next question will be any number of things. I mean, I'm observing the client, so I'm getting a sense of how that was. And I may ask the client, tell me about the piece.
Yeah.
Tell me about what you did. Tell me the decisions you made. Tell me what's behind it. And in some cases, I may not ask any of those questions. I may know that the art piece itself contains the therapeutic change that needed to happen.
Remarkable. Yeah. So, okay, now I have to ask you this.
Sure.
Have you been consulted on any major motion pictures?
Not motion. Major pictures. No.
I'm talking about like Silence of the Lamb kind of stuff. You know, these
You know, it's funny.
Crime dramas.
I didn't expect this conversation to go this way, but I have been approached by a couple of networks that wanted to talk about possible reality programs, reality shows.
Yeah.
One was ridiculous. One was very interesting. But It didn't go anywhere. And then there's been a couple of times where I've been approached about television series, about the notion of that turning into a television series. Yeah. Yeah. And I found that quite interesting. I think part of the art therapy, it's funny because if art therapy is done well, you may have 45-minute session where it may seem boring from the outside because the client is doing artwork and the art therapist is sitting there with the client. Mm-hmm. Or if there's a group, mm-hmm. they're all engaged in the art-making process and the art therapist may be moving around, but it's a very personal experience. There's
right.
nothing
right.
overtly dramatic unless you're the art therapist who's right. witnessing this.
Yeah. And in your work in this particular setting where you are brought in as the mm-hmm. expert witness, we'll say, right?
Yeah.
On behalf of the defense, mm-hmm. This is probably a bit disconnected, but it's like turning the telescope the other way, mm-hmm. where now you're looking back to the art and yeah. helping us better yes. understand who it is that has created this art.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think one of the fundamental issues we have with our field is that there's a concept that when we look at an art piece and we say what it may represent, there's this shamanic, magical quality to it. And what doesn't happen enough, because I have a colleague out west who's been an art therapist for 30, 40 years, and she'll say that what ends up happening is that the work that we do becomes so instinctual that we know what we're looking at because we've seen thousands of pieces. And sometimes we can't put into words
wow.
what it is we see. So one of the yeah. things that I really make sure my students are able to do is justify their conclusions. And it's so difficult to really get yeah. to the details.
Yeah. Well, this is the man, David E. Gusak. Dr. Gusak is chair of the Department of Art Education, professor in the Graduate Art Therapy Program, Florida State University. Our guest this morning, author, well-published, a lecturer, an educator, a therapist, and perhaps a TV personality. We'll see how that works out. Thanks for being with us.
Can you be my agent?
Of course. I'm getting 20%. Thank you for being our guest.
My pleasure. It was really a pleasure.
Our pleasure indeed, Doctor. Thank you. Folks, this is what we love to do around here and make fun of our guests, right? I mean, that's kind of how it rolls. But we've got more coming up, and you want to stay right where you are. Don't lose your place on that. Don't touch that dial. You don't know where it's been. We'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there. We're back with a very lovely individual, a person who has come into some fame of late, even though she appears to be a rather modest individual. And she's going to tell us a little bit about that. Kiera Nixon is our guest. How are you?
I'm great, Brian. I am so excited to be a guest here on Tallahassee
I
Talks.
I am terribly intimidated because you're so much better looking than I am.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
It's really troubling.
Thank you.
I hide behind a microphone here so that others can only imagine how handsome I might be.
He's very handsome.
And then Facebook betrays me with these photos, and I'm like, Yeah, that's not cool.
Well, it's time for you to get a new profile.
Apparently so. I did change my profile pic. A good friend and an able photojournalist, Dave Barfield, took some snaps of me here recently, and they actually found one that they were willing to put in print. Isn't that great?
Wow.
And then some of my colleagues said, it looks like Orson Welles. So I took that as a compliment. Orson did well for himself. Anyway, you're all about what you're doing as a student there at Florida A&M, and FAM has this marvelous reputation, I think, for having contributed sizably to broadcast journalism, among many other professional areas. With that, here you are, as I understand it, and this is even quoting from this article by Morgan Danford, who wrote back in the, when was this? This was back November 8th in the Tallahassee Democrat. Folks, if you didn't see this photo, what are you, blind? Because this is like a wall-size poster of Kiera. And the
I was shocked as well.
No, I'm certain that this was not your thought when they said, hey, we'd like to do an article about you. It's a gorgeous photo, and I'd say pretty good likeness of her.
Thank you.
Turns out that she has this sort of subtext going on, a sort of backstory that I want to get into with you. But for those who are just getting to know her, let me tell you, this is a person who is affectionately known as Kay. So if that's okay, we'll refer to you as Kay from this point forward.
That's perfectly but, fine.
Okay, so Kay is a recent winner. She recently won the title of Miss Black Florida U.S. Ambassador. And that means that she's allowed to then empower and enlighten her community through programs that focus on health disparities, poverty, violence, and other issues in the African-American community. The article goes on to refer to some of the past winners, and apparently you had to be coaxed into even competing for this.
I did.
This was not your goal in life, was it?
No. When I tell you, since I was a kid, I always wanted to be Miss America, but I lacked talent. I can't sing. I'm a horrible dancer because I was a cheerleader. So I always felt like, oh, maybe no, I can't get into talent. So Kiana Rochin actually reached out to me on Facebook.
And a prior winner, right?
Yes, she is. Yeah. She is my Miss Black Florida 2014. And she reached out to me for 2 years, actually, and was just like, hey, come on, I need you to hop aboard. You should definitely apply.
Wow.
And I told her, maybe once I get money,
yeah.
maybe next year. And she's like, no, do it this year.
Right.
And my mentor is actually a Miss Black Florida as well, Eunice Kofi.
Okay.
She's really big in the Tallahassee community.
Yes, recognize that name.
Yes, and she told me to go for it, so I did.
Wow. And all of that happened while you are a student, and this is your senior year. You're going to graduate next
summer.
So you're not busy, right?
I'm very
no
busy.
No pressure, right?
I'm very busy. It's a lot of pressure.
Oh, okay.
But I'm excited. As long as you have time management, I feel like you can conquer the world.
Really?
Because everyone has as many hours as Beyonce have.
Okay. Okay,
If Beyonce is able to be a superwoman, you could be a superwoman as well.
See, I'm feeling encouraged there. Although I probably won't be a superwoman. I will probably just be the super
Superman.
Host of Tallahassee Talks.
Yes.
How about that?
I agree.
That's a good place. And but then again, you're not only a student, you yourself are a broadcaster.
Yes, I am.
Right? So you're participating over there at Florida State or Florida A&M.
Yes.
FAMU's radio station,
90.5 WANM.
Right.
I'm the headline scroll for my student media practicum class.
What does that mean? What do you do?
I do a 5-minute segment of local, national news that's going on, especially here in Tallahassee.
Ah.
I also help out with Sway Black, the Black Hour.
Oh,
I'm
neat.
Her In the Know Girl, and I do entertainment.
In the Know Girl?
Yes, In the Know.
Okay, so here we are.
Yeah.
On the show, and you're telling me about what's going on in Tallahassee.
I am.
Yeah? So what do I need to know about the entertainment
that's going on
in Tallahassee?
Here in Tallahassee?
Yeah, what's hot? What's new? What's latest?
Okay, well, I haven't
Because I need to be seen at these places,
okay,
right?
I was going
to
say, I haven't caught up on anything as of yet.
Okay.
I'll have to check back.
Do you have a blog?
I do. See? I'm a blogger as well. So I'm a health, beauty, and fashion blogger.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, what about all those nifty places where I need to be seen and noticed? Uh-huh. I mean, couldn't you text me with that? Yeah, exactly.
I wish I could. Oh. I'm actually thinking about doing food reviews and everything as well.
Oh, perfect.
My professor is Professor Blackburn, and he used to write for the Tallahassee Democrat.
Right, right.
And he just made us do an assignment where we had to do a food review, and I did prime time.
Well, don't let Rick Oppenheim hear this, because Rick is like the biggest foodie in this town. He's going to come courting you, trying to get you to come his way and keep him posted on all the latest food stuff. Like,
well,
he needs
tell
that.
Tell him I would love to. He's a foodie myself. I may be a really tiny girl, but I love to eat.
Well, folks, we're talking with this very tiny girl who has a very big life going on. And we want to get into some of the things too that you have going on for the future, and some of the things that motivate you. You have an interesting approach to life, I think. And we're going to talk with Kiara Nixon, who is the current reigning Miss Black Florida U.S. Ambassador here, and we are excited to learn more about where that's going to take you as this U.S. ambassador. What does that entail? How does that change your life? Where does it take you on a daily basis, I guess?
Well, as being Miss Black Florida U.S. ambassador, I kind of think of myself as an advocate for African American people here in Florida. So whatever issues that are plaguing my state that pertains to African American people, I stand on those issues I advocate for them.
Okay.
So recently, I worked with Representative Alan Williams and Bobby Powell on the Ban the Box. The Ban the Box rule that's coming up in session.
Right, right.
Because I also have a political background. I interned at the Florida House under different representatives.
Wow, you're scaring me.
I know. I do everything. So I'm working with them. I just recently partnered with Pace Center for Leon County Girls.
Guys, if you're looking to get a date with this girl, you're crazy.
Yeah, I'm really busy.
Not going to happen. She threw away her day timer. There's no point in that. Folks, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're talking with the very lovely and very able Kiara Nixon. You stay with me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Kathy Griffin, president of Widden Glass.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Kiara Nixon, who is a native of Jacksonville. And as a Jacksonvilleite, is that right?
Jacksonvilleite?
I don't know. Whatever.
You can probably say native
as
of Jacksonville.
As a native of Jacksonville. made her way to Tallahassee to study at Florida A&M. So here she is in her senior year. Reading from this article that was written about you, this says she transferred home to the University of North Florida in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I'm probably breaking up the actual sequence. You'll have to set it straight. But she says, I picked communications because I love talking to people. Well, of course, that's why you're here, because you're talking to me. Isn't that cool? I like the way that works there.
On Tallahassee Talks.
And so she said, I love talking to people, and I figured it would be something that I'm good at. That was my mistake, too. There, she was a weather anchor and made history as the first minority on the school's Spinnaker show. Wow. However, UNF wasn't the school for her. She said, I told my mom I just wasn't happy. It wasn't FAM. And so she says, at FAMU, I felt like I had a bond. There was a family there. So that by that summer, she moved back to Tallahassee. Now, that was what, a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yes, that was a year ago, 2014.
Well, you made the right decision. You moved back here.
Yes.
You're happy.
I am.
And now you're Miss Black Florida U.S. Ambassador,
yes.
Representative of the universe, of the world, right?
Of the world.
Of the whole world. And In that regard, then, I suppose it has opened up additional doors. I know you're going to be doing some work with Mayor Gillum.
Yes.
On some projects. Tell us about that.
I've actually contacted him and his wife, mm-hmm. and I know someone that works very closely with them for, mm-hmm. I believe it's a Tallahassee Days event. It's a fit and fun event for children and youth.
Right.
And my platform is promoting higher education to youth. So why not get out there and have fun and work out with them? So I definitely plan on having some workshops with them in the future.
Very nice. In the fact that you've been at FAMU for as long as you have, and you've walked through some tough times. This is a community, and you said a family, and some of the members of that family have suffered. You've all suffered.
Yes, we have.
I mean, and I go back to the days of Robert Champion's death and all that's transpired since then, right down to the present day, things that just break your heart. What's it been like for you to have to walk on? I mean, you're very well oriented, it seems to me. You're focused on your personal goals. How much of that stuff has been a distraction? Or how do you...
I would say it have been a distraction, but at Florida A&M, we've learned through turmoil and through turbulence. You just have to strike, and keep striking on.
Yeah.
And I believe we're really a family, so we support one another. And our school is going through a really crazy time right now. But as long as we have a family that's behind us and that's supporting us with the alumni, the student body, and everyone that works there, then we'll be able to move on.
You know, when you think of a family in crisis, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of us have lived through crises in our own families. I don't know of anyone who can say, I've been unscathed by, because every family has something that they deal with. Maybe it's health, maybe it's finance, maybe it's relationships, something. And in those crises, those moments when, man, your heart is just broken.
It is. But I feel like that's the best time to bond together even more, and it makes you more stronger. And actually, during these times, it makes me have more love for my school. My heart goes out towards my university.
And you have a personal faith, too, a faith in God.
I do.
That helps in that respect. How
it
so?
It does.
How
it
so?
It does. With a lot of things that have been going on, I pray for my university each and every day. And my favorite life verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans of your life, plans to move you forward and plans not to harm you.
That's kind of the subtitle of this article.
Yes, plans for hope and a future.
Right.
And I know with all the turmoil that we're going through, there's definitely going to be a blessing at the end. So Florida A&M, we have plans for a hope and a future.
And in that way, then, dealing with the crisis, the manner in which you manage those heartbreaking moments, that's really the key, then, you think?
I agree.
Yeah. So it's not what happens to us, it's how we deal with it.
It's how you handle it.
Yeah. And you handle it, it seems to me, with a great deal of poise while you are working yourself to death at a very young age. And I get tired thinking of all that you have going on. I mean, I'm teasing you, but my goodness, girl.
Once again, you have as many hours in a day as Beyonce.
And this from a person who says she has no talent. But you have certainly discovered a great deal of talent, I think, in your ability to communicate. What do you love most about people?
About people.
Yeah.
I love meeting people. I love hearing everyone's story.
Yeah.
I recently was at the Tallahassee Women's Magazine event where I met veterans. They were honoring them. And I learned so much from these women, everything from serving our country to how their home life is now. Absolutely love hearing everyone's story, because each and every person is different.
That's
and they're unique.
Share. Yeah. That's kind of our downbeat around here. We think that Tallahassee is a cool place. There are a lot of cool people doing a lot of cool things. I think you're one of them. What do you like least about people?
Least about people?
Yeah. What bothers you the most about us?
What bothers me the most about people?
What gets you really aggravated?
I don't know. I guess I really love people because I grew up as an only child. So
I mean, don't we ever get to the point where
not
we've just... kind of worn you out and you're done with us?
Not really.
No?
I am such a people's person because I grew up as an only child. I always wanted to be around people.
What if I just keep asking you annoying questions?
That would be good. I love questions.
Okay. Man, this is not easy. Kira Nixon is our guest here, and we're trying to have some fun with her, but she's just too nice.
I can't help it. I love people.
Yeah, you do love people. So what do you love about loving people? You've plugged yourself into this role as a broadcaster and helping other people tell stories. Where do you see yourself after graduation? You got about another, 6, 7, 8 months to go.
Yeah.
Well, you graduate in the summer, but that's not a long time.
I know.
What happens next?
It's pretty close.
Or do you have any ideas?
I really don't know. I don't have any set plans. I'm just asking God to guide my steps in the path that He wants me to go. I would love to have my own talk show, just like you.
Oh, see, I knew this was coming.
Yes, yeah, I would love the girl to has have hit me up my own talk
already.
Show.
I tell you what, you can have my show. How about that? You can
okay.
do this.
Yeah, well, this will be Tallahassee Talks with Kay Nixon.
That's what I'm talking about. God, I need a break. I'd actually get a weekend off. That'd be sweet.
Take a vacation.
I need somewhere. I need to go away. Just and so many people would be so happy to hear me do that. Just go away. What happens to students when you think of students who don't have that kind of direction? I mean, you're pretty well focused.
I believe that some students, they get lost, and it's perfectly okay. In the article, it says that I started out as a biology pre-med science student. I wanted to be a dermatologist. I still somewhat have aspirations to be a dermatologist as well because I love skincare. And I failed organic chemistry terribly, really terribly.
Not your proclivity.
And I was lost. I didn't know what to do. I really didn't. So I reverted back home. And my mom told me, hey, you still have to go to school. And that's when I decided upon communications. But I feel like you really have to ask God, what's the way that you want me to go? Because I have always wanted to be a doctor, but that's not where He saw me at.
And in that capacity now, when you talk with students who themselves have gone through that, what do you say?
I always just encourage them to pray. And even when you get to the point where you've made it, continue praying. Just continue to ask God to guide your steps in the path that He wants you to go.
Right. When you look at communications as a field, particularly broadcast, and I know you have this gig with the radio station now, and you want to have your own talk show.
Yes.
What would you talk about?
Health, beauty, entertainment. I feel like there's so many different things you can talk about. Advocacy, what's going on in the Florida community, what's going on nationally.
Okay.
There's so many topics that people should be informed on. But I not only want to talk about them or make them more aware, I want to make it fun as well. Kind of like your show.
Well, see, this is what I'm talking about. We're having fun. I'm having fun. Kira Nixon is our guest, and a delight to get to know her. Stay with me, folks. We are having fun with this young lady, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, folks, I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
If you've just joined us, you've missed out on a whole lot of fun here. at her expense, I might add. Kiera Nixon is our guest, and I want to read this so I get it right. She's the current Miss Black Florida U.S. Ambassador, a position that allows her to empower and enlighten her community through programs that focus on health disparities, poverty, violence, and other issues in the African American community. One of the things I noted, too, is that in competing for this title, it's a little different. They don't do the talent and the swimsuit thing. They have you do what?
Instead, I have to do a presentation on my platform. And once again, my platform is promoting higher education to inner city youth and people that are in urban communities. But it just doesn't stop there. I speak on any issues that I feel like are plaguing the community. And also, we don't do a swimsuit round, which is pretty exciting for me. Instead, we do an athletic wear round where we wear athletic gear.
Okay.
So that's pretty exciting because...
Why is that? Why are they putting the emphasis
on athletic wear?
The athletic wear and what you're doing to contribute to the community. Is this kind of the philosophy behind it?
I would say it is. I spoke with my CEO. Her name is Patrice Harrison.
All right.
And she said, how many times do a title holder go around and perform their talent versus how many times do they go around and tell about their platform and what they're actually doing in the community? Okay. Because, Brian, I didn't come here and perform a talent for you. You asked me, what am I doing in the Tallahassee community?
Right.
As in the swimsuit round, a lot of women don't feel comfortable getting on stage showing a lot.
Right.
So I believe that you can wear the same outfit that you're wearing to the gym.
Right.
We can wear a tank top with some shorts or some capris.
The thought that occurred to me is that it's on achievement, not on entertainment.
Agreed.
Right? If we're parading you around in a swimsuit and we want you to entertain us, that's one message.
Agreed.
The other message is we want to know what you've done for yourself athletically, we'll say in terms of fitness.
Especially if you're talking about being healthy and different health disparities that's going on.
Right. And then what it is that you're doing to contribute, to give back to the community. So for yourself and for others. A little different take on that whole thing. I think that's kind of cool. Well, in that capacity, you being a native of Jacksonville, being at Florida State, FAMU as long as you have, being at FAMU, you've been in Tallahassee long enough to know a little bit more about this town. And I often ask folks, what do you like about Tallahassee?
What do I like about Tallahassee?
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is the people, because I love people. So I've met so many great people that are natives of
Tallahassee. What do you like about them?
What do I like about them? I love the love for their city. They love the two universities and one college. I wouldn't forget TCC.
Right.
But they have such a genuine love for the universities. Because I would say with our football team, as you know, we've kind of been defeated. And we still have alums that come to each and every game.
Yeah,
that's
a
lot of devotion.
Right.
Yeah. And with the Noles, they've been... Well, I know they haven't been undefeated, but we still have a lot of people that have pride in their football team.
Sure.
And I love the loyalty that they have behind both universities.
Yeah. So loyalty is a big plus for you here, right? What do you like about the town? I know that you provide your in-the-know, girl-in-the-know thing, right?
Yes.
So you provide us with the nightlife kind of stuff and entertainment. So tell us about what you know about Tallahassee's nightlife
options. Tallahassee, to me, their nightlife is such a college town. Each and every night, you can find something to do, whether it's on the campus of Florida A&M or at Florida State. Also, there's different businesses that's on Tennessee where they have poetry nights. We have certain bars that's there. Like, there's always something to do. And on weekends, if you have a family, there's always family days. There are the Tallahassee days. There's always something
going on.
Yes.
Is this the kind of place you'd want to stay if you were to finish at FAM and then you decide, hey, I'm thinking maybe I'll stay
now? While I do love Tallahassee, I have a greater love for my hometown, Jacksonville.
See, folks, this is what I'm talking about.
I have a greater love for Jacksonville. But I do. I absolutely love Tallahassee.
Come on.
I will visit.
Jacksonville.
Yes, I love Jacksonville.
Okay, so they've got a big river running through them.
It's the largest city. It's the largest city land-wise.
But who's cooler? Come on, think about it.
Jacksonville.
Oh, come on. No
and
way.
We have the Jaguars. And speaking of loyalty, we have the Jaguars.
Yeah, but have... Okay, folks, I need your help on this one. You're going to have to start sending me text messages so I can thwart this claim that Jacksonville somehow is cooler than Tallahassee. Okay, well...
We have the beach.
We will... Okay, beach, that's true, but we have beach.
We have the beach. We have an awesome downtown area.
We have an awesome downtown.
We have the
land. You just said that.
You do, but we have the landing. And we have bridges.
We have Cascades Park.
Cascades Park is beautiful. But we have plenty of parks in Jacksonville.
Do you have
a
mag lab?
We don't.
Uh-huh.
We do not have a mag lab.
Exactly. This is what I'm talking about.
Do you have a beach?
We do. It's extended.
It's a little far.
There's a lovely
off.
Drive between us. And the beach, the Gulf. It's the Gulf, too, by the way. It's
it is.
Just the ocean.
It's the Gulf of Mexico.
The Gulf of Mexico.
It is.
Right. So some of the world's finest beaches not far from us, right?
Uh-huh. Do you have a football team?
We have the Florida State Seminoles and your own team, FAMU Rattlers. Come on.
Do you have the Tallahassee football team? We have the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, we just don't have enough room for them yet. Okay, we're gonna get there.
Hey, we're only 2 hours away.
All right, fine. Well, we'll dispense with any further comparisons between Jacksonville and Tallahassee. However, I remain convinced that there's a place for you in our community, and before you graduate, I think there'll be a number of us working to try to convince you
to stay.
Absolutely right. Folks, we're talking to Kira Nixon, who, while very lovely and talented and articulate and erudite, is terribly deceived into thinking that somehow she should leave us behind after she graduates.
I'm sorry.
Well, I know, but that's not enough. You can't just be sorry. We've got to change your mind. Folks, this is a woman who has found herself in the spotlight of late as the title holder of Miss Black Florida, U.S. Ambassador. And as she goes about her duties, do you travel a bit now because you are in that position?
Yes. Well, my goal is to travel throughout the state of Florida promoting my platform. And I'm actually going to Miami this coming up spring. There's a workshop that's down there where I speak to young girls about empowerment, encouraging, and self-confidence.
Do these speaking engagements, as they are, occur on some kind of calendar? Are they already predetermined? Or do they just kind of come up throughout the year?
They actually come up. Okay. A lot of people reach out to me via Facebook or on social media or email me.
As we did.
Yes.
Right. Cool.
So they email me, and if I can fit some time in my schedule, I make sure I'm there.
Well, we're going to try to make sure that you come back and keep us updated on your activities. A lovely opportunity to talk with you. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, Brian.
A pleasure. Right. So Kira Nixon, who will continue in her role as Miss Black Florida, and we're going to continue in our role bringing you more of what Tallahassee is talking about week after week after week right here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We are the production of Alcom Marketing here in Tallahassee. Our executive producer, Carl Cerny, is always on the up and up, keeping us between the lines, as they say. So I want you to come back again and be with me as we continue to find out what Tallahassee is talking about this week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Trucking Heart of Seth, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Trucking Heart of Seth, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Tailgating starts here at Truck and Car Concepts. Get your free tailgate pong game with your purchase of any item, $500 or more. A free tailgate pong game for your next tailgating party.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, with their cars, we're number one by far.
Get your free tailgate tailgate pong game this week with any purchase of $500 or more at Truck and Car Concepts across from Kraft Nissan on Mahan Drive.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.